Well, people of God, let's turn in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, and we'll be reading to the end of the chapter. That's found in page 938 of your pew Bibles, page 938 of your pew Bibles. Well, this morning we continue in our series in the Sermon on the Mount, and we come to the issue of worry. Now, I know very few of you are worriers, which is a lie, right? Obviously, you are. Worry is common to all men in all times, in all places. And so we come to a perennial subject of the human heart. And we will hear the words of Jesus and his remedy, his solution to the problem of worry. And so we'll begin again our reading in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough troubles of its own. This is God's. Let's pray. Father, we ask as your people come to study your word this morning, we ask that you would guide us by your Holy Spirit to apply the truths of Jesus' teaching to our own life, to our own worry. Hear our prayer, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. We come to the text, we'll just dive right in. There's a therefore. There is a therefore to the discussion of worry. And so what therefore is Jesus speaking of? Well, we have to go back to last Sunday, remember, where we looked at the treasure principle. But you'll find that in Matthew, just in the context of your text, Matthew chapter 9 saying says, Matthew chapter 6, 19 says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If the eyes are good, your whole body will be filled full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money or mammon or stuff, as we talked about last week. So Jesus, here as he goes in, therefore I tell you, do not worry. What does he mean in light of what we just read? I think he simply means this, that you who are storing up your treasure in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy and thieves do not break and steal, you who are treasuring God over mammon and money, well, you shouldn't be worried. If you truly are my disciples, if you're truly kingdom people, you shouldn't be worrying. And I know you're fretting there with all kinds of guilt, because you do. But the therefore is connected to that text, verse 19 through 24. If it is true that you are storing up your treasures in heaven, if it is true that you are serving God and not money or mammon or stuff or things or position, therefore, you shouldn't worry. That's what Jesus is saying. If you're truly kingdom men, if you're truly kingdom women, if you're truly my disciples, do not worry. But he continues on, right? He doesn't stay there. He doesn't stop there. But he does mention this idea of worry three times. Three commands. Do not worry, do not worry, do not worry. You know, he's knocking three times. Do not worry. But the reality, of course, Jesus knows, is that all of us have a tendency to do what? Worry. Even the most carefree among us are worriers. It's not just a problem for someone else, it's a problem for me. It's a problem for you. And Jesus, maybe you could summarize it this way, is that Jesus is saying the kingdom of heaven makes all the difference in the world when it comes to worry. And again, we have to, you know, bore down in an understanding of this idea of worry. What is Jesus speaking directly about when it comes to worry? It's stuff, right? I mean, stuff is the primary thing that Jesus is highlighting here. It's stuff, it's mammon. And of course, he teaches on that with food, drink, and clothing. The most basic forms of stuff is what he begins to teach on. But I think it is helpful for us to define worry. And Timothy Lane was helpful, at least for me. I hope he will be for you. He says that worry, no matter if it's there's sociological reasons or situational reasons, or even if a person struggles with an anxiety disorder, he says worry is a deeply spiritual issue. Worry is a deeply spiritual issue. No matter what you are dealing with, no matter the reasons of your anxieties and your worries, it is a deeply spiritual issue. Worry is ultimately a response to life lived in God's world. Worry, therefore, is a response to God Himself. To be over-concerned about something other than the kingdom of God. Now, I'll repeat that last part again. Worry is to be over-concerned about something other than the kingdom of God. Or, yeah, over-concerned. I do like that phrase, over-concerned. And the reason why that's good is because you should be concerned for the welfare of your fellow man, shouldn't you? You should be concerned for the spiritual welfare of your children, shouldn't you? You should be concerned about the spiritual and physical welfare of your brothers and sisters in Christ. This should be an amen. Come on. You should be. But those are all kept in perspective. Because God is our great and chiefest concern or focus. But we have all been at that place where something happens in our life or to our child where that concern takes over our lives and we become controlled by that concern. Brothers and sisters, that's worry. Some of you are right there, right now. It's got you, doesn't it? And it might not be a child, it might be work. You are over-concerned with work. The first thought in the morning when you wake up is not God, it's not even your family, it's work and all the expectations you have at work. You have an over-concern. You are worried. And Jesus is saying to his disciples, I have a remedy for that. I want to help you. You know, Jesus is not trying to be like, oh, you guys should just get over yourself. Right? No, he's saying, I want to help you. I want to reorder your life as you deal with the realities of troubles that come to every single person on the face of the earth. Every day has what? Troubles. All of us are going to face troubles. Jesus had never promised his people, oh, by the way, it's going to be wonderfully rosy when you come to faith in me, and everything's going to go your way. Right? As long as you believe it. What a bunch of hogwash. I mean, Jesus is very clear. His disciples will face what? Troubles. Verse 34 at the very end of the chapter says, tomorrow has troubles, all right? You're going to face troubles. That's reality. And of course, Jesus himself faced troubles of all kinds and all kinds of sufferings and all kinds of oppositions and all kinds of betrayals. And he says for you and me, brothers and sisters, and you're going to experience the same thing. Jesus is not wanting his disciples to escape from the troubles of this world. Oh, no. But to face them with grace and truth. To face them how he faced them. And so let us dive a little bit more deeply into the remedies or the reasons for why we should not worry. I was helped quite a bit by Kevin DeYoung in his structure of this as he went through the text, and also by Timothy Lane. You know, as teachers, we are always being taught by other teachers, and it is good. And I am so thankful for the gifted men and women of the church that edify me and, of course, you to build up the body of Christ. So, when we look at the word for worry here in the Greek, its literal meaning is a distracted mind. It's like squirrel, right? That's for me. That's me. A distracted mind, you're looking at him. I'm the poster child of a distracted mind. And I thought when I read that, I'm going, wow, I guess that's me. Kind of a worry. But then there's another definition, a double mind. A double mind. It was interesting. Literally, a double mind or a distracted mind. Thus, again, there is this division between God's kingdom and my own kingdom. Because, brothers and sisters, let us just say very frankly, the reason we worry is because we've erected our own kingdoms that are built on a house of sand. We easily find our significance and our value on stuff that does not last, on stuff that will pass away, on stuff that will definitely fade. And so Jesus here is trying to address that directly to his disciples. So let's look at some of the reasons we should not worry, or you could say some of the remedies for worry. Verse 25, dive right into there. He says, do not worry about your life. That's the word psuche, or soul. Psyche, psychologist, that's where you get the word psychologist from, is life, your soul. What you will eat or drink, or about your body, your soma, what you will wear. Is life, or psuche, more important than food, and the body, or soma, more important than clothes? Now, here you have the body and the soul reality of a person. You are both body and soul. Body and soul. And Jesus is simply saying, your life is too important to worry. Life is more than what you wear. Right? How many of you were concerned about what you were going to wear today when you came to church? And it had to be just right. Oh, yes, there's giggles going on. Yes, of course you did. Jesus is saying, you're too important for that. Life is a lot more than clothes or food or drink or parties or position. You're too important for that. You're actually just playing in the gutter when you could be sitting with the king at his table. You were created for more than just food and drink and clothing. You were created by God for his glory to dwell in his house forever. You're too important to be fretting about food and drink and clothing. Oh, you might want to say, but Jesus, I need these things. Well, Jesus knows that we need these things. You see that very clearly in the text as you go down in verse 32. But he's saying, life is a lot more than stuff. And some of us have stuffed our souls so full of stuff, there's no room for God. You were created for infinitely more than stuff. And yet, what does America do? We stuff our soul full of nothingness. And we wonder why we're empty. Jesus is saying life is a lot more than all this stuff that you're infatuated with. Remedy number two. You are valued. That's right. You. You're valued by none other than God Almighty. Look at verse 26. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? You see, God, every morning when you wake up, if you're up early enough, if you're one of those early risers, you will hear the birds singing. And they're just going about their day, finding food, and God is providing year after year, season after season, decade after decade, century after century. He has fed the birds of the air. He cares for them. And we find that he cares for us and that we are valuable. Or as the psalmist sings, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Fancy clothes won't make more of you. Christ makes much of you by dying for you, by coming by the power of the Spirit to indwell you, to tabernacle within you. Oh, I think we're valued. Oh, yes. Valued beyond any understanding that man's reason can conjure up. We don't actually understand the width and the height of the value that God has given us. There's no way, because we don't know what infinite means. Except for, well, it's a negative word, not finite. Wow. That's a wonderful remedy, isn't it? Your clothes do not define you. Your food does not define you. Your prosperity does not define you. Your career that you take so much pride in does not define you. You are more valuable than that. And so if you lost that, or your home, or even your life, because we're all going to lose our life, you are more valuable than that physical life. Oh, I think that's a remedy. That's a remedy for anxiety, isn't it? That even if they take the most precious thing that I cherish, my own body, if that's taken away, I am valued because I will get a new body. And if I die, I will be in the presence of God Almighty. You are valued, brothers and sisters, in the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know of a better remedy for my own heart if I would only ponder these truths and apply them more consistently to my own life. Remedy number three. Worry doesn't make things better. You ever notice that? How many of you guys are going, well, you know, I went to the doctor. He says I got a plumbing problem. And I worried a lot. Boy, did that help. It was wonderful. The more I worried, the more my heart pounded. It was great. Yeah, it doesn't help, does it? Worrying about the diagnosis that's going to come will not help the diagnosis get any better. It just never seems to work. No matter how much we worry, it's always a big fail. Isn't it? Oh, come on. You should be smiling a lot more because you've all worried and thought it would help. And it doesn't help. It can't even add a single year to your life. The language is a little bit different. It's a single cubit. You can't make yourself taller, and you can't make yourself live longer. God already knows the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come, and he knows how long you're going to last. He knows your beginning, and he knows your expiration date. You can't add a single day to your life. And I think that's important as we face the realities of life, especially as we face the health crises of life, to remember God already has every day ordained for me in his book. I can't add anything anyhow. If I survive this, praise be to God. If I don't, praise be to God. To God be the glory in living and dying. To God be the glory. Now that I know is countercultural in its greatest depth, because most people, their fundamental heaven is here. Most people living on the face of the earth, their fundamental heaven is here. The problem is this heaven will all turn to sand and will burn up. It will not last. And for the Christian, we know we have a wondrous future. Jesus is just trying to reorient that stubborn heart away from worry and to hope and to trust in God. Remedy 4. You see that in verse 28. And I love the imagery. And maybe you've been seeing the beauty of Michigan and the flowers in the fields. And maybe you've taken the time to stop and smell the roses or whatever that flower was. And hear what Jesus says. And why do you worry about clothes? I mean, they're basically saying they're not even that nice. And here's how he explains it. See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? God cares for flowers. And if you've seen any kind of, I was a forester for a long time. I worked in the bush. And one thing you do all the time is you have a lot of contact with greenery and flowers. And sometimes during a lunch break, you can look at a flower and you can see colors and patterns that dazzle your imagination because they don't seem to be able to be repeated by even the finest technology that man has to offer. And this is a simple flower in the middle of nowhere that no one cares about. Yet, it is more beautifully dressed than Solomon, one of the richest men in the ancient world who ever existed, more beautiful than even the Queen of Sheba was impressed by. That little flower is dressed more beautifully than Solomon. And friends, the God who dresses the flowers with beauty will supply you with what you need. Do you believe that? Do you believe that he will clothe you? That he'll provide for your family? That he'll provide food for your table? Do you believe that whatever might be happening at work right now or what anxieties might be occurring because of your checkbook, do you believe that he will still supply everything that you need? That he will clothe you? That he cares for you like he cares for flowers, but you are way more valuable than flowers because Jesus died for you. The greatest imaginable gift of God the Father was God the Son, and he came and died for you and for me. Brothers and sisters, that is a caring God. But we struggle to trust him, don't we? Don't you? When daily troubles come, maybe a bill, maybe a phone call, maybe the doctor calls, it's hard to trust, isn't it? God. To really trust God in living and in dying. But Jesus is still calling us to hear his voice, trust me. Trust that I will provide for you. Trust the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and stop living like a pagan. You see that in the text. Verse 31. So do not worry, saying, what you shall eat or what you shall drink or what you shall wear, for the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Oh, you of little faith, here's the reality. Many Christians live as practical atheists. Let's just be honest. Much of our life can often be this. I come to church every Sunday, maybe one service, maybe two, maybe twice in a month, maybe one. But the rest of our week has nothing to do with the kingdom of heaven. It has nothing to do with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, because he's not even actively sought for in my daily living. Actually, I'm living just like a pagan. If people look at me, they go, well, he's no better than the pagans. He lives for the exact same thing. You see his big boat. And he's got another big boat, because the other big boat was not good enough. So he got another big boat. Because he loves stuff. We know that he loves stuff. He's very particular. Don't you know that? Yes, and he's very concerned about that boat. He always washes that boat and makes sure it's the most beautiful boat on the lake. Oh, yes, some of you know that's you. But we can be so consumed with stuff that the world has no idea that we're followers of Jesus Christ. Because they know very easily, man, that guy loves stuff. I think he loves stuff more than his wife. Oh, definitely, he loves stuff way more than his wife. And that should never be. Because we're followers of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We follow one who loved us and gave his life for us. Who indwells his people and says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And if you want to be impressive to the world, there's nothing more impressive than to be a follower of Jesus Christ, even if the world scorns you, because they will. Because in the end, all the opinions of your neighbors and your Facebook friends will be of no value on Judgment Day, will they? They will not help you when the gates of eternity fling wide open. Only Christ and his blood and his perfect righteousness and his resurrection will be sufficient on that day. Oh, friends, if we want to have a remedy for worry, stop living like pagans and stop valuing things like the pagans, like unbelievers that find their wealth, they find their significance and their value in what they possess. For the one who has the most toys does not go to heaven and does not win. Because if that is the value of a man or a woman, you will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Start living as Christ's followers. And that gets right to seek first. You hear those words, we know that well. Seek first the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Jesus is saying, seek me first. It's not that I'm a spoil sport. It's not that you shouldn't have a house. It's not that you shouldn't have recreation. It's not that you shouldn't enjoy my beautiful creation. But seek me first, because I gave that to you. See, we don't often talk strongly enough to ourselves. Seek the one who gave you everything. You would not even have breath to enjoy what you enjoy. The taste buds in your mouth, the ability for you to see and to enjoy the beauties of this creation, all given by the Creator. Seek me first. Seek my love for you. Seek my kingdom. And so when you wake up, even if you want to seek the things of the world, seek me first. Roll out of that bed droggy-eyed and pray, even if your affections are as cold as ice. As you come out of your slumber, pray and say, Oh, my Father in heaven, help me to live this day with the kingdom ever before me. Help me, O Lord Jesus, to live this day with the kingdom ever before me. O Holy Spirit, help me this day, with the kingdom of Christ ever before me. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. Seek first Christ. And Jesus ends with those famous words. Therefore, do not worry. This is the last of his commands. Do not worry. For tomorrow will worry about itself. He personifies the next day. Tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Friends, when this service is done, and we go out those doors, and we go into our lives, and we go to our homes, and along our poolsides, or the lake, or the river, trouble will be there, won't it? Just today, and the next day. But seek first my kingdom. Seek first me. May God bless you, his people, as you seek first Christ and his kingdom. Let's pray. Oh, Father in heaven, oh, how we worry. Oh, how we lose perspective of what really matters, of who's really in charge, of who's really sovereign, of our real value and worth. And oh, Father, as we seek you each day and throughout the day, continue to reorient our hearts towards you and your kingdom and what matters, so that we might navigate the many troubles and temptations that will inevitably come our way. Bless your people. May your Spirit dwell in them richly to discern each moment as they travel as pilgrims all the way to a glorious end, a glory beyond our wildest dreams and imaginations, the glory of that kingdom that is to come in its fullness when the dead in Christ rise and there will be a new heavens and a new earth. Until then, may we be faithful in seeking the kingdom of heaven. Amen.